State Shelter for persons 18 and older from November 15th through April, and no person will be turned away. Visit us weekdays from 1 to 4 p.m. at 75 Bridge Street in Willimantic, or visit our website at WyndhamNoFreeze.com to see how you can help. This is WHUS Stores.
The Stores Mansfield Unitarian Universalist Meeting House on Spring Hill Road hosts an independent documentary film on the second Monday of every month at 7 p.m. All screenings are free and open to the public. This message brought to you by 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, UConn's sound alternative.
Hey, this is Paul Rusk, and you're listening to WHUS 91.7 Stores Radio for the people. G'day from Australia.
All right, welcome to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, and this is my co-host, Ron Maniza.
Good morning.
If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call us at 860-486-9487. That's 486-9487. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, we are podcasted, and you can go to whus.org for that. So we have a lot of good stuff today, but the first thing we want to talk about is how cold it is.
It's cold. It's real cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very cold outside.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. So I was on my way here, and I'm signed up for the Town of Mansfield Emergency Management notifications, and I got a phone call. I also got an email, which is great. And I had kind of wished that I had let the email, the phone call go to voicemail so I'd have it written, but fortunately I have the same thing emailed. So I'm going to read it to you because it's really important. So this is kind of a public service announcement. This is kind of a public service announcement. Okay, here we go. This is an important message from the Town of Mansfield Emergency Management. Lower than average temperatures are anticipated in our area over the next few days. The Town of Mansfield will open the following facilities as warming centers during regular hours of operation for individuals who do not have adequate heat. Mansfield Senior Center, that's Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. You can call 860-429-0262 for a modified schedule during inclement weather. Mansfield Public Library, Monday and Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., closed Sunday. You can call 860-423-2501 for modified schedule during inclement weather. Mansfield Community Center Sitting Room, Monday through Friday, 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sunday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., You can call 860-429-3015 for modified schedule during inclement weather. Residents are asked to check on their elderly neighbors or individuals who are homebound who may be especially susceptible to the cold. Parents should also ensure that children are properly dressed when outside, especially when they are waiting for the school bus. Please follow these cold weather safety tips. Wear several layers of not too tight or too bulky clothing. Always wear a hat and gloves. Consume warm and easily digestible food and beverages with higher calories, like warm milk, soup, noodles, and rice. Remain indoors or in places with sunlight. Continue with usual daily activities, but do more exercise to generate heat, improve blood circulation, and maintain flexibility of joints. For heating safety, any type of heater except electric should be vented. Do not use a gas or electric oven or surfaces for heat units for heating. Do not burn outdoor barbecue materials such as charcoal briquettes inside, even in a fireplace. Do not use bottled gas in natural appliances unless appliances have been converted for that use. Make sure you have working smoke and carbon monoxide detectors. Those needing assistance can contact the Department of Human Services at 860-429-3315. Information about the location of regional shelters and other services is available by dialing 211, and emergency assistance is available by calling 911. I think I'm going to read that again at the bottom of the hour and perhaps before we go. That's really important. So it's really, really cold. And we're going to have, we had single digits. What was the temperature when you got up this morning?
Two.
Okay, that's it. Two.
Yeah, those are, that's two. That's like no degrees.
So that's when you left the house?
Yes.
And then when you came home?
It was three.
No. So when you walked in at, when did you come back? At 8 o'clock?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's really, really cold.
It's cold. It's
so
cold.
We're hoping that this is the deep freeze. Usually we get one deep freeze a year, and we're hoping this is it. And that we'll have warmer temperatures come, you know, usually the first week or the second week in January.
So I used to, speaking with my inside sales representatives that I would deal with, or companies I would deal with from the West Coast, they don't understand what this kind of temperature is. And so my explanation was to them was to go home, and when they get home at night, pull all the food out of their freezer and then crawl
inside. Stick your
head
in it.
No, crawl inside, close the door, and it's warmer in there than it is here.
Right.
And that was a good way of, you know, getting the point across. But, you know, we are experiencing really cold temperatures, nothing like they get, though, in Bismarck or, some of those places.
Oh, yes.
I mean, there are much colder places in
That's
the U.S.
That's true.
For sure.
And in Canada, when I lived in Canada, of course, you know, I lived in Newfoundland, Nova Scotia. In Atlantic Canada, it doesn't get much colder than it gets here. Well, I would say in Nova Scotia and in the island portion of Newfoundland. When you get up to Labrador, it's a different story because now you're on the mainland. But people think that, oh, Newfoundland, it's so cold. No, it really isn't much colder than it is here. If we look at the temperatures for Newfoundland, it's probably similar to here. It might be warmer because Newfoundland is an island and the Gulf Stream goes by it. It's not too far from it. But of course, when you get to the mainland of Canada, then it gets much colder. And of course, when I was in Canada, you would see the weather forecast. Everything was in Celsius. So you'd see the temperatures broadcast across Canada. And what was impressive was when you got into the middle of the country in like Calgary and in Alberta and Manitoba and Saskatchewan, and even Northern Ontario and Northern Quebec, it was much colder than here. And so you'd see temps like minus 25. Of course, minus 25 is, we'd have to convert that to Celsius, from Celsius to Fahrenheit to give you an idea of what that means. But still, it's considerably colder than here. So I remember when I was in Halifax, it would be minus 4 up, but minus 4 Celsius is in the 20s. It's not so bad. And it might get down to minus 12, but that's comparable to what we get here. But the low temps were, as you said, very impressive in the middle of the country. And you'd have this phenomenon in January, February in Alberta where you get a Chinook. Yes,
okay.
A Chinook. It's a First Nation word. And it means a really warm front would come through where it'd be 25 degrees out. Celsius.
25
degrees Celsius, roughly 70. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah,
that's,
right.
That's impressive.
So you get that once in a while. But most of the time, it was pretty darn cold. So it is pretty darn cold here. And if you are dealing with cold, you heard what the town of Mansfield is saying. It is a good idea to continue to move, to continue to exercise,
mm-hmm.
and to eat hot things. As we said, this is a time for good soup and tea. And if you don't want to overdo caffeine, so this is a good time to have soup and have herbal teas. And just warm water with lemon is a good thing. So that's a fine thing to have, and have just be warm all the time. Another thing to remember is to keep stuff in your car. What if you get stranded in your car? What if there's a blizzard and there's whiteout conditions? Or what if for whatever reason you get stranded in your car? Your car, cars don't do well in the cold.
Sometimes, yeah.
And sometimes they run out of gas, and sometimes they have things wrong with them that are more likely to go wrong in the cold. Batteries run down more likely in the cold. You could get stranded somewhere. So make sure you've got some things in your car. It's a good idea to have things like water in your car. You should really always be carrying water in your car. I know one of the issues with carrying water is you have to bring it in and out now because mm-hmm. it freezes.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to remember to do that. So you might want to have some kind of reminder by your door to bring water. I usually have some kind of water in the car, and the water is nicest to have in the car in the spring and the fall because then it doesn't get too hot. It doesn't freeze.
Mm-hmm.
But this time of year, you have to remember to bring it in and out because it will freeze. And this time of year, you have to remember to, and in the summer, you have to remember to bring it inside because it gets hot. So, but you don't want to get stranded without something to drink, and you want to keep a non-perishable bit of food in your car. It, you know, trail mix, something that won't spoil, something that will, you know, keep in plastic, that's reasonably nutritious. And trail mix is a really good idea because it's nutritious. It's not overly sugary. It's got some fat in it and it's got some carbs. And it's something that will keep, especially if you keep it in under wraps, if you keep it in plastic. It's a really good idea to have. Another good thing is if you are not a vegetarian, you can keep a healthy version of some kind of protein in your car. You can keep, you can get organic meat sticks like pepperoni or turkey sticks, you know, turkey pepperoni or some kind of jerky. You can keep that in the car as well. And if you're vegetarian, there are vegetarian versions of those things that are made from very kind of plant proteins, and they can be quite tasty. So that's another nice source of protein that you can keep in your car. So that if you get stranded, if something happens, and then you need to go by the roadside. The other thing is, it's not a good idea if you're on the roadside. Say you're in a blizzard and it's whiteout conditions. It's actually not a good idea to leave the car and go looking for help.
No, bad idea.
No, it's a good idea to stay in the car. Number one, you'll stay warmer. Mm-hmm. Number two, if you're out there, you're less likely to be seen than if you are in your car, and the less likely to be seen can be really bad because you get hit. Something could happen to you. Somebody won't see you. They'll skid off the road and they'll hit you, and they're not going to be as likely to see you. If you're in your car and they hit your car, it's not wonderful, but you're less likely to be hurt.
You have some protection.
Yes, you do have some protection. And if you need assistance, you're more likely to be seen, of course. And I think another important thing is this time of year, if you can afford it, you want to keep your gas topped off. Don't let your tank go below half a tank.
Well, there's a few good reasons for that. Not only the fact that you need the fuel, but there's also a problem where if you keep a fairly empty tank, you're going to get condensation in the tank.
Yes.
And that will make water happen in your gas, which it will not work as well that way.
So don't they put additives in the gasoline this year to help to deal with that?
Well, they do. They definitely do. But, you know, it's always good to have. They make a product called dry gas that you can use with you also, which is just alcohol. That's all it is.
Yes, it is.
And
is that
just
more
eats the water up?
Is that more of an issue with older cars?
Maybe so. Not sure. I think what it was more of an issue with was years ago when they didn't treat the gas as much as they do.
I used to use dry gas, but I haven't used it in years because I understood that first of all, they treat the gas now.
They're changing it around,
and it's not. And your tank is, you know, if you have a newer car, you're less likely to have that as an issue.
Right.
Should everybody be using dry gas? That's the question.
Well, I don't think it's an issue as much as it was, only because of the fact that they've changed the formula around on the gas.
Sure. Well, they definitely changed the gas because my fuel economy has gone down.
Oh, they do horrible things to the gas because, your fuel economy goes away in the wintertime. It really, you know, you'll lose as much as, you know, 5 or 8 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. That's why I'm glad I have a hybrid. And the other thing is that nice thing we have. That battery that we have in the hybrid to ensure that my car will still start. So that's interesting.
Right.
So keep your car safe. The other thing is you want to have an LED flashlight. Like, so Ron, if you're going to have a flashlight that you're going to leave in a car, what kind should you leave in your car?
Well, anything, like you said, with an LED is good.
Something that the battery is less likely to run down.
Right. They'll last longer, so you get a little more life out of them. You get the most life out of, I think, the alkaline batteries, which are not rechargeable, but if you're being environmentally conscious, you might want to go more towards a rechargeable. I mean, there's different ideas there.
So are batteries do worse in the cold?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't last as long in the cold.
So it's a good idea to keep checking your flashlight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. Or have something that is rechargeable that you can, you know, just recharge. We have a lot of rechargeable lights in our house due to my connection with the bicycle industry. So we have lots of that type of product around.
Yeah. Mm. So things to keep in your car, flashlights and a little bit of food, non-perishable food, water to drink. And then the other thing is it's a good idea to have self. If you don't have a cell phone, it's a good idea to have one. And if you have issues, there are government programs where you can get cell phones for little to no cost.
You know, if you have a cell phone that doesn't actually work, it's not hooked into a system, it'll still call 911. So even if you have an expired one, I do believe you can still dial 911. It will go through.
So even,
but someone might want to check me on that.
Even if you haven't paid your, like if you haven't paid your bill?
Right.
Wow.
I believe 911 is always active no matter
what.
That's
really good.
Yeah. That would be a good question. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it seems like I remember reading that at one time.
Right. That's really interesting. Yeah. So again, staying warm in this time of year, you want to, yeah, as we said, eat adequately. You want to hydrate adequately. The other thing to remember this time of year is you get dry. You get dry this time of year because when it's as cold as it is outside, even if there's moisture in the air, the moisture freezes. So you don't really benefit from it. And the moisture, it's not suspended in the air. It doesn't rise. It tends to sink if it's frozen. So the air is very dry outside. And then when you're indoors and you have heat going, whether you have a wood stove or if you have forced air heat, it gets very dry in the house. So you get very dry. So it's very important to remember to drink. You don't feel as thirsty because you don't sweat as much. But you still have to remember that you do get dehydrated. And if you don't feel like drinking cold things, so drink hot things. The other thing you'll notice is that your skin gets dry. Part of why your skin gets dry is you don't drink enough. So you want to make sure you drink enough. And the other thing is, you know, with dry skin, of course, you can use creams and lotions. And, of course, I recommend using creams and lotions that have natural ingredients in them, that have things like shea butter, coconut oil, olive oil, jojoba oil. All those things are going to have a nice barrier for you. You can get, you know how, we were talking about this, how, you know, people who work with their hands, who either work washing dishes or they get their hands wet all the time, or they work with animals, or they work fixing things where their hands get into grease and chemicals and solvents. Their hands get very dry, and then it can also get cracked this time of year. And so that's something that a lot of people have issues with. And so they get cracked. And the thing is, when your skin gets cracked, you can get infections. And that's a big issue. So people use things like Bag Balm or Utter. We were talking about Utter Cream the other day. And I said I was concerned about those things because Bag Balm is chemicals. It's basically petroleum jelly, and it's got some chemical antimicrobial in it. And if that's all you got, I think that's okay. But it's not what I would ultimately recommend. You can get natural hand salves now. You can get it from your health food store, and you know, we naturopaths carry it. You can get it online. That are products that are for healing your hands that have things like, once again, beeswax, shea butter, olive oil in them, and then essential oils. And they work very nicely to help to keep your hands soft and to heal up those cracks. When you heal up those cracks, you're less likely to get infections, and the cracks will heal. One of the reasons you get the cracks and they stay is because there's microorganisms causing inflammation, and you got this combination of inflammation and microorganisms keeping them open. So if you keep them moisturized and you put antimicrobial stuff on them, they're more likely to heal, and then they'll keep your hands nice and soft. So that's a really good plan. And then staying warm, there's other wacky things you can do. You can put cayenne pepper in your socks.
That's weird.
Yeah, but you know what? If you put capsaicin is the active ingredient in cayenne pepper, and it's warming. It causes intense circulation to come to the surface of your skin, so it'll warm you up. The other thing to keep in your car and to use as needed is you can get those chemical hand warmers.
Right.
So where they're little plastic packages that have chemicals inside them that when you break the inside of the package, the chemicals mix and they create heat. And how long do those things stay hot for?
Well, depends on which ones you get, but you know, they say up to 4 hours.
Yeah, so you can get inexpensive ones, and you can get inexpensive ones that you can put in your hands and you can put them in your shoes. You can get bigger ones for bigger parts of your body, and that's another thing that's a good idea to keep in your car. And the other thing is you don't want to run the heat constantly in your car. You want to run, if you're stuck in your car, you want to run your heat for a little bit and then turn it off for as long as it, until it gets cold again, and then turn it back on so you don't run down your fuel. But again, like I said, it's a good idea this time of year to keep your fuel topped off. Try to keep your fuel. I think it's good. I mean, I usually, that no more than a quarter or no less than a quarter of a tank, but I think a half a tank is better. It's just a better plan. Just when you see it get down to half a tank, it's a good idea to stop at the gas station and fuel up just in case. You just never know what's going to happen. It's just a good practice for this time of year. There's a condition that some of you may have. It's called Raynaud's phenomenon. Anybody out there with Raynaud's?
Me.
Yeah, that would be you, right?
That.
So what's Raynaud's phenomenon? Raynaud's phenomenon is a specific phenomenon, and it can be more likely to happen in people who have diagnosed autoimmune conditions, but not necessarily. But Raynaud's phenomenon, people who suffer with Raynaud's phenomenon are more likely to suffer with that this time of year. And you are the ones I'm looking at for those hand warmers and foot warmers and any kind of warmer. Those are really good. The other thing is you want to be wearing fabrics that are going to keep you warm. This time of year, I've got wool socks on. I've got either wool or fleece socks on, and then I have fleece boots that help to keep me warmer. If you have Raynaud's, it's a good idea to be wearing wool, unless it's itchy for you, in which case wear fleece. And if you have to wear synthetic or cotton fleece, that's fine. Cotton fleece, is that a thing? When you're talking about cotton fleece, you're talking about a knit as opposed to actual shearling.
Mm-hmm.
And now if you don't mind wearing shearling you could wear. But if you don't like to wear animal products, then you look at wearing cotton fleece.
If you're somewhat sheepish about that.
And you can wear synthetic knit fleece.
Right.
Boots and socks. So anyway, we know it's phenomenon. What it is your blood vessels, the capillaries, in end points of circulation. So the ends of your fingers, the ends of your toes. In some cases, women can get it in their nipples as well.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get it in your nipples, especially if you're exercising.
Mm-hmm.
So say you're going out for, I'm looking at you people who are snowshoeing and cross-country skiing or skiing. You're getting out, you're getting good exercise and you're sweating and then you stop and you get cold. So mm-hmm. now you're wet with sweat, but then you get cold. That's when you're going to experience your Raynaud's. Anyway, so what happens is in response to the cold, your capillaries close up. They get inflamed. They release inflammatory compounds and they close up and they cut off circulation to those areas. So your hands will turn blue and then they'll turn white. And then when the circulation returns to the area and the inflammation settles down, they hurt. And that's Raynaud's phenomenon. And it's painful when it happens. But the unfortunate thing is because you're releasing the phenomenon is inflammatory. There's inflammatory compounds that are released. It's different than just getting cold. Inflammatory compounds are released, and you can get fibrosis in the areas where you get Raynaud's. So it's a good idea to try to prevent Raynaud's in the first place. So when you get fibrosis of the areas, then that hampers the circulation more, and you get into a vicious cycle. So that's really unfortunate. So the other thing you have to be careful of is frostbite, and you want to try to prevent frostbite. And if it's cold enough and there's wind chill, like you're walking around up here on campus and the wind is whipping and it's single digits, it might be a better idea to wear a hat that has ear flaps that's absolutely covering your ears. So, you know, I've walked across campus. I have this adorable hat that's wool and then it's lined with fleece. And so it's very comfortable, and it has those pull cords where you can pull it down over your head and a little pom-pom. It's very fashionable. It's very nice.
It's very nice, yes.
Yeah, so I have that hat. But you know what? If the wind is really whipping, it might be time to pull out the balaclava and cover your face and cover your nose. You can just wear an old a scarf and wrap that around your face. And when you breathe into the scarf, you're going to warm up the air that you're breathing into, and you'll be rebreathing warmed air, it'll be nicer on your face and you'll be less likely to get frostbite on your nose. So your nose is susceptible to frostbite because, again, it's sticking out. And so are your lips, and your lips are susceptible to windburn. The other thing you have to remember is if you're out in the sun for any period of time, even in the winter, you can get a sunburn and you can get windburn. You can get both. So putting sunscreen on, a heavy moisturizer with sunscreen in it, is a good idea. Because that's going to help to prevent you from getting windburn, from your skin just drying out from being whipped about by the wind, and also from getting a sunburn, which you can still get, especially if you're out skiing for a long period of time or if you're just out playing in the snow. The snow is white, remember? It's white and it reflects. So mm-hmm. sun is going to shine down on it. People get tans from skiing.
Oh, I've done that.
Totally
yeah.
a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, you get a
so
lot
you
of
have
light.
To be careful. You can get a sunburn, especially this time of year when you haven't been out in the sun as much and you're not used to being out in the sun. So heavy moisturizer with sunscreen is a good idea. And heavy lip balm with sunscreen in it is a good idea because you'll get chapped and you'll also get a sunburn.
Yeah.
So really important stuff. And carry those hand warmers. It's a good idea to carry those hand warmers. And the other thing for you Raynaud's people, cayenne pepper, if you can tolerate it, is your friend. It's your friend topically if you can handle it. But it's also good to eat.
So if you get desperate, you can eat it and get warm that way.
Sure. Well, sure. But I mean cayenne pepper. I mean, eat it in your food.
So how much do you use? If you're trying to keep your hands warm, how much cayenne pepper do you put, like, inside of your gloves? Is that how you do this? How do you do this?
That's contrary. I don't know if I would recommend that. The reason for that is because, you know what? You're a human being. You're going to touch your face. If you touch
right.
your face, the cayenne's going to get in your eyes.
Right.
So maybe not the cayenne on the face.
And you may touch other places, too, which you don't want cayenne.
Owie. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah. When you're in the bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be great.
So probably safer to put in the socks. But if for the hands, I would go with the hand warmers, you know, the chemical hand warmers, because you're not touching the hot stuff. It's encased in the plastic casing. And then you want to wear really good quality gloves or mittens, you know, that have that are insulated. Possibly made with wool or possibly made with synthetics that are insulating and warm your hands. And you want to be carrying those things all the time. When you are out, it's a really good idea to always have your hat and gloves with you. You don't want to be running out from here to there without covering up because it doesn't take long to get frostbite. So if you get the beginnings of frostbite, what should you do? Well, the first thing to do is warm. You don't want to put anything super hot on skin that's been somewhat frostbitten. If you're very frostbitten, then it's a medical emergency. It's time to go to either the walk-in or to the emergency room. I mean, if you have skin that's turning black, that's a medical emergency. But if you're a little bit frostbitten, you can start by just warming your hands. You know, get into a warm area and put the hand warmers on. You don't want to put on anything that's excessively hot because you may not be able to feel it and you don't know how hot it is. So get somebody who doesn't have hot frostbite to test it for you. Make sure it's not too hot before they put it on you. And put your hands in, you know, good lukewarm water, and that will help you to be safer. So for you people with Raynaud's, it's a really good idea to help to strengthen those blood vessels and capillaries. Like I said, eating, if you can tolerate things with cayenne pepper in them, cayenne pepper is wonderful. And also any spicy peppers have capsaicin in them. And the neat thing about capsaicin is it's a nitric oxide enhancer. It increases nitric oxide. And nitric oxide it opens up circulation. It causes increased vasodilation and good blood flow. It also lowers blood pressure, but also increases circulation. So it's very helpful. The other thing that increases nitric oxide are beets and beet juice. So eating beets this time of year is a really good idea. That's also going to improve your circulation. Again, beets and peppers do lower blood pressure, but they also increase circulation. So they're really helpful. And they increase circulation in the short term because the compounds in them are nitric oxide enhancers. If you eat lots of nuts and seeds, you're going to get arginine. Arginine is also a nitric oxide enhancer. So if you're eating adequate protein, you'll get arginine as well. But arginine is a good nitric oxide enhancer and will, again, lower blood pressure and increase circulation. So that's helpful. And then you folks with your Raynaud's, it's a good idea to eat proanthocyanin. And so those are the wonderful compounds that are in berries. So they're going to be in your blueberries. They're going to be in strawberries and raspberries, blackberries, tart cherry, regular cherry, pomegranate. They all have anthocyanins in it, all things which improve circulation. So having those regularly, even this time of year, is a good idea. This time of year, obviously, you're not going to get fresh berries. So it's a good idea to get frozen organic ones and do your smoothies or melt them and put them in your yogurt or melt them and put them in your hot cereal. That's another way to go. So finding a way to get those berries in or, you know, enough berry juice to get the proanthocyanins, but not enough to raise your blood sugar. And tart cherry juice. I have some tart cherry juice and I've been enjoying it. It's not that tart. I thought it would be super sour, like drinking cranberry juice, and it is not even close. They call it tart cherry because it is more tart than black cherry or Bing cherries or Rainier cherries. But it's not so tart that you can't drink it. It's very pleasant, actually. I've drunk it by itself. I've drunk it. I made a concoction of antioxidant and circulation and inflammation improving and reducing juice. And I put in a combination of black currant. I put in a combo of black currant, beet, Montmorency cherry, which is tart cherry, and pomegranate juice. And I mixed them all together and I had a nice glass of juice. It was very exciting. I enjoyed it. And I think I put in some fizzy water in there too. That's another thing you can do, just put a little fizzy water in. So very nice. So if you have that Raynaud's, it's a good idea to strengthen your blood vessels in that way.
So I was a little concerned because we talk about chemical arm warmers. I was wondering what was in them. So I looked and I can see that they contain cellulose, iron, water, activated carbon, vermiculite, and salt, and produce heat from an exothermic oxidation of iron when exposed to the air.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was because I am always wondering, you know, is this bad for me to be using these things?
Right.
What's the deal? But once it's exposed to air, that's when it reacts, and that's how they work.
Yeah.
That's why they're always in a plastic container, and then you take that, you open that up, and off they go.
Right. That's very interesting. Yeah. So those are some ways to keep warm. I think in 10 minutes we'll go ahead and we'll read that concern the message from the town of Mansfield once again. But in the meantime, Joseph from Westerly called. So big shout out to the town of Westerly because I reconnected with my friends at WBLQ down in Westerly. Shout out to Chris DiPaolo and to Brian Sullivan and Lauren and down at the Buzz. So I was on WBLQ for 2 years. And so, Joseph, I'm hoping you listen to WBLQ when you are in that area. I'm hoping for more reconnection with Chris, and we'll see what comes of that. But in any case, obviously Joseph is listening up here. Joseph has some allergies or has some itching in the corners of his eyes that started a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he said it was just itching, and he used to have allergies years ago, but he hasn't had them recently, and all of a sudden, last couple of weeks, the corners of his eyes are very itchy, and he wanted to know if you could address that.
I can, but what you have to do is you have to go to the doctor, get some diagnosis.
Right.
Because the itchy eyes could be anything, and if it just started in the last few weeks, it could be anything.
Right.
If you have a new pet, maybe you're getting allergies to that. If you're wearing clothes that were being stored and maybe you didn't wash them, maybe because that's something that happens. You pull out sweaters that you haven't worn since last year, or you pull
out
sweatshirts and things.
Yeah.
They can have a little dust and mold on them. It could be coming from that. If you haven't cleaned your house in a while, it could be coming from that.
Yeah.
And it could be a medication. It could be a new soap that you're using. It could be so many different things. So what you have to do is you have to figure out, is there something new topical that you're using? Do you have a new pet? Did you go somewhere that you're not accustomed to going? Are you wearing new clothes? This is the other thing. It's been Christmas. We just had Christmas and we just had Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting a lot of gifts. You might be getting some new clothes. One of the things about new clothing is if they've been, they may have been shipped from far and away, which means they sat
point.
In a container.
Right.
They could have mold or dust on them from being on the container. The other thing they do, if the things are going to be shipped a long way, is they put pesticides on them and other chemicals.
So you want to wash everything that you get if you get something new.
Yes, if you get something new, it's a good idea at least to wash it. If not, just to let it sit out in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's solvents on it, the solvents will evaporate.
Right.
So that's another possibility. Itchy eyes. Are you eating unaccustomed foods? There could be so many reasons for it. So you have to find out what the cause is and then address it from there. I mean, if you have an autoimmune condition that can give you dry eye, if you can have Sjogren's syndrome or some other autoimmune condition, you can just have autoimmune dry eye, and that's giving you itchy eyes. So you could also have an infection. You get pink eye.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have.
So if you have itchy eyes, is there something you can do to make them less itchy?
Sure. Well,
like
again,
naturally, I guess is what I'm asking.
So again, you gotta. We don't know why.
Yeah.
We don't know why they're itchy.
I gotcha.
But in the meantime, it's usually, again, you should really consult with somebody on this. So I don't want to say, yes, run out and do this. I don't want to say that to you. So you have to, you really, if you have itchy eyes all of a sudden, you don't know why, you should go to the doctor. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. So get some diagnosis, and then the doctor's going to give you some guidance as to the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Having said that, usually there are some very benign eye drops you can get at the drugstore that are just, for example, carboxymethylcellulose that are just a lubricating eye drop. You can get eye drops that are just saline, that are just salt water, and those are usually, they mimic tears. And so if your eyes are dry because you're not making enough tears, those are going to give you some relief. And those are usually harmless for most people. Again, don't quote me on this because depending on your condition, they may or may not be good for you. The other thing is if you have itchy eyes, don't share eye products with anyone, even if you love them, even if you live with them, even if they're your spouse or your partner or your child. Don't share eye products with other people because you will transfer microorganisms from one to the other. And you should be very careful when you're doing eye drops. Try not to touch your eye with the tip of the eyedropper.
So you know how we rinse our noses with the neti pot?
And yeah.
We use that to clean our sinuses out. Is
right.
there anything you can rinse your eyes with that's safe?
Well, if I were going to do that, I would use saline.
Really?
And so with neti pots, we use hypersaline. We use a solution that's more than saline, because if you use saline, it really won't do very much. And if you use less than saline, you know, the less than 0.9%, it's going to hurt.
Right. I was going to say, it can't be very much because it will burn your eyes.
Right, exactly. Right. So that's why when you put salt water in your eyes, it should be exactly physiological saline, which is why I wouldn't mix it up.
Right.
I would not make your own eye drops. I would just buy them pre-made.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so, like I said, you can get physiological saline eye drops at the drugstore. And the other thing is, anything you put in your eye, you want it to be sterile.
Right.
That's the other reason why you don't want to make your own eye drops. Because you want to make sure there's no bacteria in it, because the eyes are sensitive. You can get infections very easily.
Sure.
So you get sterile eye drops, or you get sterile lubricating drops. And mind you, I have eye drops that I offer that have homeopathic soothing stuff in it. They have saline, and then they have homeopathics in them, homeopathic doses of nice remedies like Eye Bright. So things that are soothing to the eyes, again, check with your doctor. Don't just go use these. It's a good idea to check with your doctor. I have to say that I have had very nice experiences with Eye Bright. Eye Bright, you can get pre-made Eye Bright eye drops, and again, they will be formulated for use in the eye, and you would get them at the health food store, perhaps at the health food section of your supermarket, or from a practitioner. And so Eye Bright is very soothing to the eyes. You can also just make Eye Bright tea, and you can rinse compresses in the Eye Bright tea, and then you can close your eyes and relax with the Eye Bright compresses on your eyes. You can get Eye Bright tea bags. You can also get just plain old black tea bags. And if you soak them in warm water and then place them on your eyes and just relax, they're very soothing to the eyes. I've done that myself where I got something itchy in my eye, like I got some kind of an irritant or inflammatory substance in my eyes, and got a black tea bag and soaked it in warm water and plopped it on my eye, and it worked like in, 10 minutes, my eye was much better. It reduces the inflammation.
And it's always wonderful walking into the room and seeing you with a black tea bag on your eye.
Yeah.
That's just...
It's nice. Well, black tea has tannins in it, and tannins are astringent, and they're also antimicrobial. So if you got a little bacteria in your eye, it'll kill it.
We see a number of things like that around our house, and I look at her and I go, "What are you doing?" And because Fran has all these wonderful remedies for doing different things, which I'm not aware of, but I'm learning every day. And it's that's a funny one, though, to see you with the tea bag on your
eye.
Well,
the next thing is, I have this toe that I'm nursing, this arthritic mm-hmm. toe. Mm-hmm. So the next thing that's going to go on the arthritic toe is I've got to get the castor oil going, because I have nice castor oil, and I have flannels, and I need to do some nice warm castor oil packs on my toe, because I'm trying to avert surgery for this toe, and I want to see it. So I two things that I have not been doing regularly that need to happen is I need to do mobilization, take a little ball and run it over the toe and then under the toe as well to get the area mobilized, and then also to do nice warm castor oil packs on the toe, and that can help with inflammation as well. Castor oil in the eye, I would not do that. Please don't do that.
No, that doesn't sound good at all.
But eye bright tea bags and black tea bags can be very soothing on your eyes. Warm water on the black tea bag and just relax with those on your eyes, and they can be very helpful. If you're going to use eye drops, it's a good idea not to make them yourself, but get preparations that are pre-made. And then, of course, if you have a condition, if you have an itchy eye that won't go away, you really do need to go to the doctor, because you can have conjunctivitis. You could have uveitis. Which is more serious than conjunctiva. The conjunctiva is the lining of the outside of the eye. And if that gets irritated, it's not terrible, but it's not as dangerous as some other things. So uveitis is the uvea. That's the part of your eye that you see with. And when that gets inflamed, that often will get inflamed if you have an inflammatory condition. You could have an infection, or it could be part of an autoimmune condition. And that's quite serious, and that needs to be checked out by an ophthalmologist, an eye doctor. So... things that are good for your eyes to eat. Bilberry is great for your eyes. So is ginkgo. So is vitamin E and vitamin C. By the way, if you get told you have increased intraocular pressure, vitamin C, there's vitamin C in the aqueous humor in the eye. So if you have adequate vitamin C or even high levels of vitamin C in the eye, it will help to reduce your intraocular pressure. So if you have glaucoma, and you want to try to help lower your eye pressure naturally, or your eye doctor has told you you have increased intraocular pressure, getting your vitamin C on is a great idea to do it. And then eating foods that are high in vitamin C can help with that. So this time of year, the citrus is great. Now, we're going to Florida on Saturday, so we're going to be eating local citrus, which is fantastic. But even though I'm not the hugest fan of eating things that are not local and fresh and organic, I do tell people, if you're not allergic to citrus, it's okay to get some citrus. If you're not allergic to it and you don't have digestive issues from the citrus, if you get citrus, especially from Florida, because it's not too far away, it doesn't take that long to ship from Florida. It's in season right now. So the carbon footprint is minimalized because of that, and it's going to be fresh. It's going to be reasonably fresh if it's coming from Florida. So if you get some Florida citrus right now, it's they're ready right now. You'll see when we go to my mother's house, we're going to be picking oranges and lemons off the trees. And
ooh.
I know. And this little touch of bronchitis I have left, I'm telling you, in a day or two, it will be gone.
That's really cool.
It is really good, because yeah. I'm going to be picking it from the tree, and the vitamin C and bioflavonoids that are in that fruit are going to be very bioavailable and not deteriorated at all. I mean, I literally walk outside, pick the orange, and go inside and cut it and eat it. My mother says, I don't know if you want to do that. Those are really juice oranges. And they are. They're very juicy. And I'm like, good.
Why is that a problem?
Right. Because they're messy.
Wow. Well, we can't have that.
No.
No.
Exactly. They're so delicious. And the last house my mother lived in, she had a grapefruit tree. Oh,
boy.
Fresh grapefruit right off the tree. That was pretty good, but no grapefruit tree now. But maybe we could go somewhere and see if somebody has a stand.
Maybe we could raid their yard.
People have, not necessarily, it's not even raid, because people have trees and they have more fruit that they can deal with. Sometimes they'll be like, free! You'll have a stand next to their house and they'll be like, here, take some. Because they don't know what to do with it all. I think my mother does have neighbors who come pick, too.
Oh,
so
really?
I hope there's some left for us.
It better be.
Yeah, be nice. So so good for your eye health. Vitamin C. So in taking vitamin C, a good idea for vitamin C, especially if you're trying to lower your intraocular pressure, is to take bowel tolerance. And what we're talking about there is that if you take enough vitamin C, your body will excrete the excess. So you can take vitamin C pills. But to lower the amount of pills you need to take, you just eat foods that are high in vitamin C. So the citrus is a good idea. But guess what? There's vitamin C in tomatoes and peppers and strawberries and kiwi fruit and broccoli and Brussels sprouts. So and currants, black currants. That's another option. And, you know, when you go to Great Britain, of course, Great Britain, you can't grow citrus there, but you can grow plenty of currants. So drinking black currant juice, we're not blackcurrant juice is not so much of a thing in the U.S. Everybody drinks orange juice because you can get oranges in the U.S. But blackcurrant juice is wonderful because it not only has the vitamin C, has those proanthocyanins. So it's a really great antioxidant fruit. And we've got blackcurrant juice in the fridge right now.
Yeah.
We'll be drinking it. It's very good.
Okay.
You should try it.
We've got
blackcurrant, we've got pomegranate, we've got beet, and we've got tart cherry and cranberry in the fridge. We'll make a cocktail later with some fizzy water and a lemon. That'll be really good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We'll spike it with some wine. Oh, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. So anyway, those are good things. So thank you so much to Joseph from Westerly, the home of WBLQ, where I used to work. So and big shout out to Chris DiPaolo and Brian and Lauren and all the folks working for WBLQ, Joe Tasca and all those guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's neat.
So I'm going to read the public service announcement from the town of Mansfield again. All right.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This is an important message from the town of Mansfield Emergency Management. Lower than average temperatures are anticipated in our area over the next few days. The town of Mansfield will open the following facilities as warming centers during regular hours of operation for individuals who do not have adequate heat. The Mansfield Senior Center, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Call 860-429-0262 for modified schedule during inclement weather. Mansfield Public Library, Monday and Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., closed Sunday. You can call 860-423-2501 for modified schedule during inclement weather. Mansfield Community Center Sitting Room, Monday through Friday, 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sunday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you can call 860-429-3015 for modified schedule during inclement weather. Residents are asked to check on their elderly neighbors or individuals who are homebound who may be especially susceptible to the cold. Parents should also ensure that children are properly dressed when outside, especially when they are waiting for the school bus. Please follow these cold weather safety tips. Wear several layers of not too tight or too bulky clothing. Always wear a hat and gloves. Consume warm and easily digestible food and beverages with higher calories like warm milk, soup, noodles, and rice. Remain indoors or in places with sunlight. Continue with usual daily activities, but do more exercise to generate heat, improve blood circulation, and maintain flexibility of joints. Heating safety. Any type of heater except electric should be vented. Do not use a gas or electric oven or surface units for heating. Do not burn outdoor barbecue materials such as charcoal briquettes inside, even in a fireplace. Do not use bottled gas and natural gas appliances unless appliances have been converted for that use. Make sure you have working smoke and carbon monoxide detectors. Those needing assistance can contact the Department of Human Services at 860-429-3315. Information about the location of regional shelters and other services is available by dialing 211, and emergency assistance is available by calling 911. So check on your neighbors if you think they need help.
Hey, back on that 911 question we had from a while back, too.
Yes.
The Federal Communications Commission regulations state that all cell phone providers, even free government cell phone companies, must take 911 calls from any cell phone. And that includes any old cell phones gathering dust in your closet or junk drawer.
Wow.
So if you have an old cell phone and you have a charger to keep it charged, because obviously you need a live battery, and you need a cell phone for an emergency situation, you can always call 911.
Wow. So even if there's no service on the cell phone.
Right. Even if there's no service. The only thing they can't do for you is they can't provide your location, whereas normally, because if you were registered with that cell phone, they'd be able to locate you also.
Oh.
So you have to give your information as to where you are and what you need.
Yeah, and that's the same as if you had a landline.
Exactly. Although they can see landlines, apparently, according to this. Big Brother can see you from many directions.
All right. So there's this nasty bronchitis that's going around, and I wanted to talk about, because I got the nasty bronchitis, and one of the things that happened to me is I went into CVS. I went into the drugstore, and I found that in the drugstore, There are things you can find that are natural. And these items probably are available at health food stores, too. But I wanted to let you know, if you can't get to the doctor, and, you know, the drugstores will often have better hours than the health food store. If you can get to the health food store, of course, it's a good idea to go there because you can have more variety of stuff. But I found that pharmacies will also have natural medicine kinds of things. I found a few cool things when I was rooting around at the drugstore. Everybody knows about Vicks VapoRub, right? Well, I have an issue with Vicks VapoRub because it's petroleum jelly. It's petroleum jelly, and it has some very active natural essential oils in it, which are very good. And the thing with natural essential oils are actually a little bit irritating. That's actually a bit how they work. So because they're irritating, they bring circulation to areas, which is why you put them on. You put them on because they increase circulation to your chest, and they'll increase circulation into your respiratory system. So if you rub the vapor directly on your chest, it's going to increase circulation right where you put it. When you breathe the essential oils in, once they get into your respiratory system, they're going to increase circulation to the respiratory system, which is going to help with things like, drawing red and white blood cells to the areas. The white blood cells are going to be antimicrobial and help to clean up junk there. The other thing is those oils are antimicrobial. So if you're inhaling some essential oils, you're going to get some microbe death, which is a good thing. All right. So if all you have is petroleum-based vapor rub, so you can go ahead and use that. But I'm here to tell you that there's plenty of brands of non-petroleum-based vapor rub because you don't need petroleum to suspend these essential oils. They work perfectly well with things like shea butter and cocoa butter and jojoba oil and beeswax and olive oil. So I found a couple of brands of completely natural essential oils completely natural chest rubs. But the funny thing was I was sitting on the ground. Ron found me sitting on the ground in the aisle saying, "What are you doing sitting on the ground?"
You had to be there to experience it. I come around the corner and there's Fran
sprawled
out on the floor and looking at things on the bottom shelf.
Well, that's the reason, because all these good things were on the very bottom shelf near the floor. I mean, you had to bend way down to do it. I said, well, I'm going to look at all these different products. I might as well get down and dirty. So I was just sitting on the ground looking at all the different products. And I found several brands of vapor rub that were completely natural. And I also found cough syrups that were completely natural and honey-based. I was very excited about that. They had good herbs in them. I found herbs that were honey-based. By the way, honey works better. It's been studied to work better in children for coughs than cough medicine. So even things like, your guaifenesin. I still believe in guaifenesin. Guaifenesin is a mucolytic. So even if you use Mucinex, what I tell people to do is if you want to get Mucinex, get plain Mucinex, or you can even get just, generic guaifenesin. Guaifenesin is the active ingredient in Mucinex. It comes from guaiacum bark, and it thins mucus, and it's very benign. If you take too much of it, you'll get nauseous, that's all. But you have to take 2,400 milligrams or more in order to get that. Or you can take up to 2,400 milligrams usually without getting nauseous. And I have a natural product that's not Mucinex, that each pill is only 200 milligrams. So it helps me to control my dose. But it's a great mucolytic, and it's not a cough suppressant. It's just an expectorant. My concern about using a cough suppressant like dextromethorphan is, first of all, it's an opiate. And second of all, if you suppress your cough, you're not going to cough the junk out of your lungs. And the second thing is if you use a decongestant, it's going to unnaturally dry it up. And you don't actually want to be dry. That mucus is serving a function. So what you want to do is thin the mucus and make it come out easily. The other thing to do is if you want to, you can lean over the side of your bed and have somebody tap on your back. They make little cups with their hands. And then they tap on your back. And that's called tapotement. And that will help to get the junk out of your lungs. And you lean over the side of the bed and you cough stuff up and you spit out it into a bowl. And you can get some more mucus out of your lungs. Anyway, so I found more products. I found the natural vapor rub. I found a really neat thing. I found fizzy shower tabs. Now, the brand that I bought It was the generic brand. It didn't fizz very much, so it was a little disappointing. I thought it was going to fizz right up, and it was going to release all kinds of great eucalyptus in my shower. Didn't really do that. I think I'm going to get a name brand next time. But it's really easy. You just take the shower tab. When you go to take a shower, you just drop it on the floor, and the water hits it, and then it dissolves. And it has calcium carbonate in it, and so it fizzes up, and it releases eucalyptus oil and some other essential oils, and it can help to make your shower nice and eucalyptusy, and you'll get those essential oils. The other thing was we got little spray bottles, and we just put 10 drops of eucalyptus oil in it, and then you keep that in your shower, and you just spray it in your shower while you're showering. It's wonderful. Smells really good. Antimicrobial, and you'll breathe those vapors in, and it's going to help you, like I said, that small amount of irritation, increasing circulation, opening up your lungs, and doing its antimicrobial thing. So I was very pleased about that. The other thing I found both at the health food store and at the drugstore was Manuka honey lollipops and lozenges. The lozenges, there were two flavors. One had echinacea and ginger in it, and the other had eucalyptus in it. And I got the eucalyptus one because I have more of a cough thing going on. The ginger probably would have been helpful too, because the ginger is going to be anti-inflammatory and the echinacea is going to be good for the immune system. But Manuka honey is amazing. Manuka honey is from New Zealand, and it has a lot of immune boosting benefits to it. So you can get the lozenges, you can get the lollipops. The lollipops don't have eucalyptus in them. They're intended for children, but I got them anyway. And if I wanted to not bother with because the eucalyptus after a while, because it's got that relaxing effect that mint has, and that menthol-y effect that happens on your stomach, it reduces, calms your digestive system, which means that it can calm your lower esophageal sphincter and give you a little bit of heartburn. So if I take too much of the eucalyptus, that's where I go. But if the lollipops don't have that in it, and the echinacea, if I take too much echinacea, I get a tummy ache too. So the lollipops are just flavored. They have blueberry, raspberry. They're very good, and they're just, Manuka honey. They're great. The other thing is you can just take Manuka honey, not in a lollipop. Ron doesn't like it.
No. It's got an odd flavor to it.
It does. Well, it's earthy tasting. I love it. I don't mind it at all. But So Manuka honey you usually have to go and get at the health food store or order. I didn't see the Manuka honey at the drugstore. But I was very pleased to see that there were lots of natural medicine things that I could get at the local drugstore, if you're waiting to get into the pharmacy or waiting to get into your doctor. That's the other thing that happens. People are getting sick, and we had a lot of time off. We had, we had Christmas, and now we're going to have New Year's, and your doctors have funny hours, and so you wind up either having to make decisions about waiting to go to the doctor or going to the walk-in, and some people wind up at the ER, and there's a bronchitis that's going around, and if it's severe enough, it's going into pneumonia for some people, and you have to make that call about which it is and whether you want to take the antibiotics. And so I can't make that decision for you whether you're going to take the antibiotic or not. And remember that all the antibiotic will do for you is kill bacteria. If you have a superimposed bacterial infection, it will kill it. It will not do anything for the virus. It could give you an edge because your body doesn't have to fight as hard against the bacteria. If you're going to take an antibiotic, it is really important to take something with Saccharomyces boulardii in it, which is a probiotic yeast that cannot be killed by an antibacterial antibiotic. And you won't even know you're on an antibiotic in terms of yeast infections or changes in your digestion. It's really tremendous. So Saccharomyces boulardii is really important for that. If you are in a severe place, your doc's going to probably give you an antibiotic, prednisone, and an albuterol inhaler. But you may not necessarily need that. If you don't have pneumonia, it is possible to get through these bronchitises with natural medicine, including the use of cell salts that I like to use, and also combinations that have things like A, C, E, zinc, and herbs like echinacea, golden seal, garlic, ginger, and cayenne, and grapefruit seed extract. So there's loads more herbs as well. So anyway, So making that decision, if you're not sure what's going on, it is a good idea to call your doc, call your MD, go to the walk-in, go to the natural medicine practitioner, we definitely have stuff that can help you. And sometimes you have to make that decision whether you're going to do natural medicine or do MD medicine. And I'm doing both. I mean, just because I decided to take an antibiotic doesn't mean I'm going to abandon all my natural medicine. Absolutely not. In fact, it's more important to continue with that stuff because now I have this foreign chemical in my body, and I'm going to take the sac Bilardi, and I'm still going to take the mucolytics and things like that. But I got through this pretty quick. I'm pretty happy because I didn't get super sick with it, and I'm going to be able to go to Florida and I'll be all right.
So. And I'm happy because you're happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've been listening to 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Radio Naturopath. Thanks for the phone calls. This is the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host Ron Meniza. If you'd like to participate in the conversation, you can always call us at 486-9487, area code 860. You can also email me at any time at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check our podcast at whus.org. Go to the talk header and click on Radio Naturopath. You can also check out my Facebook page, Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, Radio Naturopath, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. You've been listening to Radio Naturopath here at WHUS 91.7 FM, and we will see you back here next week for more Radio Naturopath. Bicycle Talk is up next.
Hey there, this is Vladimir Putin, Emperor of Russia, and you are listening to 91.7 WHUS Stores. Go Huskies!